Welcome back to 100 Yard History with Dan Swartout, the Gridiron Football History Podcast. This is episode number 14, and we are once again joined by Mike Miller as we continue our discussion of, no, not the most successful undrafted quarterbacks in NFL history. In this episode, we continue our discussion of the best and worst first-round draft picks by teams in the NFC South. In this episode, we talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Remember, we are not necessarily talking about the best and worst players. Instead, we are talking about the best and worst draft picks and how those draft picks worked out for that team. We will get back to our series on the 10 undrafted quarterbacks with the most wins in the NFL since 1978. That will happen in the not too distant future. We've got some great quarterbacks still to talk about. Kurt Warner, Tony Romo, Dave Craig, Warren Moon, and we will get to that. But right now, the best and worst first round draft picks by the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, continuing in the NFC South, I would say the best first-round draft pick is their current quarterback, Matt Ryan, who was taken third overall out of Boston College in 2008. He's been to four Pro Bowls, thrown for over 55,000 yards. He was a first-team All-Pro MVP in 2016, took his team to a 28-3 second-half lead in the Super Bowl. Anytime you get a quarterback that lasts that long and plays that well, you're hitting. You're hitting. That's what all of these teams that are drafting would love to have their quarterbacks be as successful as Matt Ryan.
Absolutely. And though he cost me quite a bit of
those matchsticks. It was the matchsticks.
The magic matchsticks.
Well, did you spend a lot of money on those matchsticks?
The matchsticks were about $100 a piece. They were very nice matchsticks.
You need to shop more. You need to shop a little.
Well, funny enough, frugally. You know, I've started buying them at Costco, and a nice guy let me cut in front of him yesterday because all I was buying was matchsticks. So it was a banner day.
You could make an argument for Deion Sanders. But Deion Sanders is probably the best player that Atlanta has ever drafted. But when I think of Deion Sanders, I remember him more as a Cowboy and a 49er, where I think a bulk of his career was spent away from Atlanta, which makes me give the nod to Matt Ryan, even though I think in a vacuum, Deion Sanders is a better player.
Well, and again, you know, you talk about Deion Sanders and you talk about him being a two-sport athlete. You know, he played for the Reds and the Braves for a little bit. He was a game changer. You talk about a guy that could just cancel out a receiver. I remember I used to love to watch him go against Michael Irvin.
He was great.
And Jerry Rice. And it was not like they would put him on – they were playing the Cowboys, and he would be on Alvin Harper and not on, the number one. He was on the number one dude – all the time. He didn't cover John Taylor. He covered Jerry Rice and the battles that they would have on the outside. And
he brought so much to the table too on special teams as a returner. Just absolutely one of the most, and on offense. Remember, he played receiver, especially for the Cowboys. One of the most dynamic, incredible players in NFL history, Deion Sanders. But still, I have to give the nod to Matt Ryan because he's been with Atlanta since 2008. And you notice, I think this is kind of Matt Ryan encapsulated. We talk about Matt Ryan. We list him as the best pick in the history of Atlanta. And then we talk way more about Deion Sanders. Matt Ryan's just a guy that's been there consistently a long time. And except for probably that year in 2016, he's just a guy that a lot of people don't talk about.
He's a lunch pail guy, you know. He just shows up, does what he's supposed to do for the most part. I just think he had an opportunity to get himself over the hump. You know, what is the trajectory of his career? Winning a Super Bowl on an MVP season. What comes next for Matt Ryan after that?
28-3. That was the score. 28-3.
You can't lose that. There was almost, and they go back and they show those mathematical probabilities. It was less than the Patriots had at that point in time, less than a 1% chance,
right,
of winning that football game. It was almost mathematically impossible,
and yet
for them to win that football game.
And yet, I mean, but look, even still, after that 2016 season where he was the MVP of the league, the next 4 years he threw for 4,095 yards, 4,924 yards, 4,466 yards, 4,581 yards. The guy is just going out there. He didn't make the Pro Bowl any of those years. He's just out there throwing for 65 to 70% completion percentage, touchdowns way more than interceptions, well over 4,000 yards a season, and he's a guy that we're just like, he's not even that great. Matt Ryan is phenomenal.
Well, I think the thing that you look at, Dan, is those stats are good. But then look at the wins and losses.
Absolutely. You can't get around the wins and losses.
So that is what you're measured on ultimately.
Absolutely.
In this league. You look at statistics, Tom Brady statistically would never be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. But I'll tell you what, he's got a couple hands full of jewelry that says otherwise.
Well, if you're talking counting stats just by his longevity, he's going to hold every record that's worth holding.
Right, right. But you look at a lot of different things. When you talk about the best arm in the history of the league, no one's going to say Tom Brady. When you talk about, you know, individual seasons, other than one, and they actually didn't win the Super Bowl the year he threw for 50 touchdowns. They got beat when they were going to be undefeated.
Uh-huh.
But it's about your championships.
Sure.
And it's about winning and losing. So if you throw for 4,400 yards and 67% completion and 35 touchdowns and 14 interceptions and you're 7-9, nobody cares. That's why he didn't make any Pro Bowls in those years that he threw over 4,000 yards, because nobody cared.
At the same time, though, especially this last season where Atlanta week after week after week was finding new and amazing and incredible ways to lose. I mean, that's not Matt Ryan's fault. You know, giving up another fourth quarter lead, Todd Gurley scoring on accident when he was trying not to get into the end zone. I mean, these aren't things that you can go back to Matt Ryan and say, well, if you'd have done that, you would have won. I think it's just one of those things about Matt Ryan. I think he's always been good enough. His team has rarely been good enough.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're a victim of your circumstance. And I think that you look at some of those games, and I don't have any statistics in front of me, but I would be willing to bet some of those fourth quarter blow-ups had a turnover of some sort attached to them that would lead you to, he threw a pick and something happened, because that's generally how a table will turn. It takes a turnover to do that. If you don't turn the ball over, then you really have less of an opportunity to have it flipped on you where you're losing at the end of the game like they were. So,
all right, let's take a look here. I just pulled up a game that I remember. This was the game with the bizarre onside kick. Do you remember mm-hmm. that game with the bizarre onside kick between the Falcons and the Cowboys, right?
Cowboys, yeah.
So in this game, the Falcons are up 39-24 with 7 minutes and 57 seconds to go. So they're up 15 with under 8 minutes to go.
Can't lose.
You can't lose. And Matt Ryan's numbers that day, he was 24 completions on 36 attempts, 273 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles. What more did Matt Ryan need to do to win that game?
Well, since you just proved everything I said to be absolutely false, I render no opinion on that. What was it, Billy Madison? We are all dumber for having listened to you. You are awarded no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I just think that if I'm the Atlanta Falcons right now, I've still got 2 or 3 years with Matt Ryan. I am not looking to draft my quarterback of the future now, especially because of all the salary that and dead cap money that Matt Ryan accounts for. I'm trying to win with him now because I think I can still win with the guy. So from Matt Ryan, and of course, everyone would rather talk about Deion Sanders, which just goes to show Matt Ryan, he's only been there since 2008. He'll be in the Hall of Fame someday, although I'm sure there
are. Do you think so? I was going to ask that question. I think the MVP helps. I think it is a very difficult climb to get into that, get into the Hall of Fame without
little
bit more postseason success than that. I mean, you got like Jim Kelly, but he was in four Super Bowls.
Agreed. But
so it's like there's not a lot. There's way more guys with a couple more chips than there are Dan Marinos that had great stats and no championship. So I don't think he's like a slam dunk first ballot guy by any means, though, unless he does something here in the twilight of his career and, you know, kind of catches lightning in a bottle on a, as they say, second act here, as they transition coaches and offensive coordinators and bring in a new set of offensive stars for them. Because right now they don't have a whole lot to go with him.
If Matt Ryan has, say, three more years that are commensurate with his standard career year, he will have finished with the fifth most passing yards in the history of the National Football League, behind only Breeze, Brady, Manning, and Favre. That's assuming Ben Roethlisberger doesn't just keep going and going. Hard to keep somebody out who's fifth overall, first team All-Pro, an MVP. And here's another thing. You want to talk about it. How many games has Matt Ryan missed in his career? So since 2008 to 2020, he has only missed three games. He missed two games in 2009. He missed one game in 2019. He is, if you want to talk about a guy you want to talk about availability, Matt Ryan's that guy.
Yeah, you sold me. I'm in the Matt. I love Matt Ryan.
Went to the playoffs in 2008, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2016, 2017. So there's been some postseason success, but certainly not the postseason success of his contemporaries who you'd talk about, the Drew Breeses, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the Mannings. But, you know, he is very similar to Marino in some aspects.
Well, and I think that so much you are way more remembered for what you didn't do than what you did. And you look at, on the biggest possible stage, an almost mathematically impossible feat that he pulled, or his team pulled.
That was pulled from him.
That was pulled from him. You know, like I said, that game goes how it should. First of all, I have a nicer house. Secondly, no, I'm just kidding.
Did you burn down your other one with those matchsticks?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was a weenie roast for sure. So, but I think that, you know, the trajectory of how he's viewed is significantly
clearly
different.
Matt Ryan, 2008 quarterback, Boston College, the worst pick ever by the Atlanta Falcons. And there was a little bit, there were multiple players in the running for this. So there was a little bit of questioning who to pick. But I went with Bruce Pickens, 1991 defensive back out of Nebraska, who went third overall to the Atlanta Falcons. And this is why. He was traded for a seventh round draft pick to Green Bay in 1993. So essentially, they got 12 starts out of him before they traded him for a seventh round pick. Two interceptions, one sack. Traded for that seventh round pick to Green Bay. Green Bay released him. He was picked up later that season by Kansas City. Tried to do something with his career in Oakland in 1995. When you pick a guy third overall and you get a total, not because of injuries, you get a total of 12 starts. That's a big miss, Mike.
It is, you know, and you know, having two defensive guys picked in front of him. You know, we talked about having three quarterbacks picked, three defensive guys at the top, six defensive guys at the top of that draft.
Check
out Russell Maryland, Eric Turner, Todd Light. I mean, some guys that had some good careers.
If they needed a defensive back, Todd Light out of Notre Dame, who went two picks later, what a tremendous career he had, selected by the Rams. Todd Light, you know, he went, played 12 years, made one Pro Bowl, was in the league a long time. So if you need a defensive back, there was no shortage of them. They could have gotten a very good one with that pick, who went just two picks later. This is the Dan McGuire draft. Todd Marinovich went to the Raiders, 24th overall. Pretty much a disappointing draft. Not a single Hall of Famer in that first round. Although I think Herman Moore for a while played definitely at a Hall of Fame level. So did Russell Maryland. You remember Eric Swan played some semi-pro ball. So it was an interesting draft. I remember watching this one live in 91. Funny story about the 21st pick in the draft, Harvey Williams. Harvey Williams was a running back out of LSU that Kansas City drafted 21st overall, did not work out in Kansas City, and then went to the Raiders. He had a pretty good year with the Raiders, a couple good years. You know, in 94, he ran for 983 yards, four touchdowns, caught 47 passes for 391 yards, three more touchdowns. So a very good year after three very disappointing years in Kansas City. And I called into a national radio show. I called into a national radio show near the end of the 94 season to make the case that Harvey Williams should be the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And they chastised me. The host did, by saying, to be the comeback player of the year, you have to actually come back from something. You have to have done something notable to make your comeback too. So they trashed that and trashed me pretty hard on national radio back in 94.
I feel like you were on like the Fabulous Sports Babe or something.
No, it was
like
not the Fabulous Sports Babe, but I remember that show very well. It was a late night type of show, because I was listening to the local talk radio all the time. And if it had worked out, because the Raiders in 94, if they had won their final game of the season, I think they would have played Cleveland in the playoffs, or there was that real possibility. So I remember calling in and, you know, telling Browns fans, hey, watch out for the Raiders, we're coming for you. And then, of course, the Raiders didn't make the playoffs. But no, yeah, so Harvey Williams got me chastised on national radio, 1991 NFL draft.
Very good, very good.
The other one you could argue about as being the worst pick in Atlanta Falcons first-round history was Andre Bruce, who was the first pick overall for the Falcons. Back in 19, was Andre Bruce 1988, I want to say?
Yeah,
in 1988. But I did not choose Andre Bruce because he at least started 33 games in 4 years for the Falcons, whereas Bruce Pickens only started 12. And Andre Bruce had 16 sacks, and Andre Bruce had more interceptions as a linebacker than Bruce Pickens did as a defensive back.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it is hard to argue your selection here. I think you definitely went the right direction.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for listening to 100 Yard History with Dan Swartout. Next up, the best and worst first-round draft picks by the Carolina Panthers. Today, we talked a little bit about Matt Ryan and his performance after the Super Bowl collapse against the New England Patriots, that being the 2017 season through the 2020 season. He didn't make the Pro Bowl in any of those years, but I think it's important to note that from 2017 to 2020, Matt Ryan actually leads the NFL in passing yards. 18,066 yards. That's the most in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season. That's more than Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson. The list goes on, but number one on that list is Matt Ryan. 18,066 yards, 107 touchdowns, 44 interceptions. He just goes out there and consistently produces year after year after year. But you will never be able to talk about Matt Ryan without talking about that Super Bowl. In that Super Bowl, Atlanta was leading New England 28-9 at the end of the third quarter. In the history of the National Football League, the score has been 28-9 at the end of the third quarter in 17 games. This includes the regular season and the postseason. And in those games, the team that led 28-9 at the end of the third quarter is 15-2. One of those two losses, of course, was the Atlanta Falcons to the New England Patriots in that Super Bowl. And although Matt Ryan will always be associated with that Super Bowl, it should not overshadow what has been a remarkable career. From 1983 to 2007, the Atlanta Falcons made the playoffs five times. Just five times. That's five playoff appearances in 25 seasons. The Falcons drafted Matt Ryan in 2008, and since that time with Matt Ryan at quarterback, the Falcons have made the playoffs six times. That's six playoff appearances in 13 seasons. So not only has Matt Ryan had individual success with the MVP award and great statistics year in and year out, he's brought more team success to the Atlanta Falcons than any other quarterback by far in the history of the franchise. And that's why, in my view, Matt Ryan is the best first-round draft pick in the history of the Atlanta Falcons. We'll find out about the best and worst first-round draft picks by the Carolina Panthers in the next episode of 100 Yard History with Dan Swartout. Send feedback to the show at 100yardhistory@gmail.com. If you think, for example, Deion Sanders should have been the pick instead of Matt Ryan, send us an email and tell us why. Also, please leave us the best review possible on your favorite podcast app. 5 stars, 10 stars, whatever the star limit is, give us the most stars. We want all the stars. It helps people find the show. 100 Yard History with Dan Swartout, the Gridiron Football History Podcast. We'll see you next time.